This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Response to a new variant. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Mike Gavin, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Monday, November 29th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Health officials are scrambling to find out more about the new strain of the coronavirus called Omicron. President Biden will provide an update today.
The pharmaceutical companies that created the COVID vaccines are already reacting to the Omicron variant. Hear their reaction so far.
President Biden may be risking an oil price war by tapping the nation's reserves to lower the price of gas. We'll have analysis.
And airlines, once again, rewriting the rules on frequent flyer programs.
Some of it actually is driven by the pandemic, both in terms of figuring out how to deal with the lack of business travel and still keep people hooked in frequent flyer programs. And I think for some airlines, taking advantage of the reset to rethink how they reward loyalty.
Scott McCartney at the Wall Street Journal on how credit card spending can be more important than flying when it comes to points and status. The world is on alert over the newest variant of the coronavirus called Omicron. Scientists say they don't know the severity of the new strain, first detected in South Africa and also found in Canada, Australia, the Netherlands, and Austria. Israel has banned all foreigners from entry. Australia restricted some travelers from several African countries, and the UK reintroduced mask mandates and PCR tests for travelers. UK Health Secretary Sajid Javid.
The strategy of this is to buy time, to give our scientists time to assess this variant, because there's still a lot of significant uncertainty.
Starting today, the U.S. will ban entry of anyone present the past 2 weeks in South Africa, Zimbabwe, and six other Southern African nations. President Biden today is to provide an update about Omicron and the U.S. response to it. The World Health Organization is urging countries around the world to not impose flight bans from Southern African nations, saying travel may play a role in slightly reducing the spread, but places a heavy burden on lives and livelihoods. The U.S. health officials say it will take roughly 2 weeks to gather more information on the new strain. President Biden yesterday met with advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci and members of the White House COVID response team 2 days after the World Health Organization labeled Omicron as a variant of concern. Dr. Fauci told ABC's This Week that Omicron will inevitably be detected in the U.S. Dr. Scott Gottlieb, former head of the FDA, said yesterday the new Omicron variant of the coronavirus reported last week is likely already here, but said the federal government is better positioned to detect cases.
Is this making people more ill? There's no indication that it is, and in fact, there's some anecdotal information off of physicians in South Africa that this could be causing milder illness.
He also told CBS's Face the Nation that public health officials may be overestimating its prevalence, in part because South Africa could be exhibiting a surge in COVID infections driven by the Delta variant after relaxing mitigation measures. Vaccine makers will spend several weeks assessing the danger and potential impact of the coronavirus's new Omicron variant, but they are already racing to develop ways to combat it. We get more from this morning's Dave Duncan.
On Thursday, South African scientists issued a warning about the variant. On Friday, the World Health Organization called it a variant of concern. By then, vaccine makers had already begun their work. The Wall Street Journal says at drug maker Moderna, bells went off last Tuesday when researchers saw unusual activity in a global database. They saw roughly 50 mutations, which could potentially render it more transmissible and allow it to evade immune responses generated by vaccination and previous infection. Gordon.
Thank you, Dave. For now, it is too early to determine a course of action. Researchers say over the next few weeks, they will watch to see if infections from the new variant lead to a surge in hospitalizations and deaths, a sign that Omicron is more dangerous than previous coronavirus variants. Coming up next, is Omicron doing what President Biden could not? Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Cyber Monday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Oilprice.com says, following the spectacular failure of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve release, which instead of depressing prices, ratcheted oil prices higher, renewed COVID concerns have now brought about President Biden's lower gas price objective. Meanwhile, Mr. Biden's move to release that oil may provide some short-term relief to drivers. Gasoline prices have risen sharply during the past year, crimping the recovery from the pandemic downturn and infuriating drivers. Dropping more oil into the market is designed to put downward pressure on gas prices, but there are risks the move could backfire. Here's Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, your take.
This is all about gasoline prices, obviously. Gasoline prices are up about 50% year over year. That's one of the highest levels of inflation in most of the household goods that consumers are worried about these days. And it's directly affecting Biden's approval ratings. So he's trying to do something about it. He's been asking OPEC, the oil drilling nations in the Middle East and elsewhere, to produce more oil, and they have declined to do that. And you have to remember about the oil producing nations, that Saudi Arabia, Russia, Iraq, Iran, other familiar names. They dealt with a crushing decline in oil prices in 2020 because of the coronavirus pandemic. Remember, oil prices got as low as $20 a barrel. So those oil-producing nations are now trying to make up for lost revenue. They want to see oil prices at $70 a barrel or higher, which is why they are not producing the additional oil that Biden asked for. So he decided to add to supply out of the U.S. reserve, so 50 million barrels he's going to put into the supply. That's not very much. It might sound like a lot, but it's not.
And as you point out, he's trapped, right, really, in the corner of his own making with his desires to move away from oil, and yet he sort of needs everybody to make more of it.
He's in a very awkward position because Biden has an aggressive climate plan, which is net zero carbon emissions by 2050 in the whole U.S. economy. And that means we have to cut way back on the use of fossil fuels, probably not eliminate them altogether. We probably can't get that far, but cut way back on the use of oil and natural gas and coal. Yet today, almost every car on the road is still powered by gasoline. It's a gigantic issue for voters when gas prices go up because they see those rising prices advertised in 2-foot high numbers everywhere they go on every corner gas station.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. His piece is called Biden is Risking an Oil Price War. And we can make enough of our own, right? We really don't need anybody else's help.
This is another oddity of Biden's plan. People might be surprised to know this, but the largest oil producer in the world is not Saudi Arabia. It's not Russia. It's the United States. So why in the world is Biden, instead of asking American drillers in Texas and the Dakotas and elsewhere, why isn't he asking them to produce more oil? Why is he going and asking OPEC? And I think there are two answers to that. First of all, the American president can't really ask or tell U.S. companies what to do. Our economy does not work that way. It does work that way in Russia and Saudi Arabia, where the governments can make the decision. But I think Biden is also avoiding asking for more domestic production or trying to incentivize domestic production because his climate agenda does basically the opposite. His climate agenda, including legislation Congress is working on right now, it has incentives for green energy, not for fossil fuels. And some of the proposals in Congress would actually remove tax breaks and other incentive for fossil fuels. So I think Biden is all somewhat discordant.
Yeah. And we're not going to see benefits of this, well, I don't know, for another month or so, maybe, if that, and it won't be very noticeable.
Well, the oil that Biden is releasing is going to go into the market over a period of a couple months. But guess what, Gordon? Another thing that could happen here is that oil prices might go down anyway. There is some reason to believe that, you know, we don't have shortages of oil, but we have tight supply. There are some reasons to believe this will ease in 2022, and there are some forecasts that oil prices are going to drop by at least a little bit next year. So if that happens, guess what Biden's going to do? He's going to say, oh, I solved the problem. Even though it's going to be market forces that solve the problem, we're going to have just a better balancing of supply and demand, just as with other products where we're seeing shortages these days. But if that happens, I guarantee you Biden is going to say, I saw that American drivers were suffering, I took action, and I solved the problem, even if the release of this oil is not the thing that pushes prices down.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Mike Gavin.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Officials in the U.S. and around the globe are scrambling to assess the newly designated Omicron variant of the coronavirus. Francis Collins, the director of the National Institute of Health, told Fox News Sunday that it will take 2 or 3 weeks to tell whether antibodies from vaccines or previous infections will be effective against Omicron, and stressed that those eligible for a COVID vaccine booster should get one now.
So please, Americans, if you're one of those folks who's sort of waiting to see, this would be a great time to sign up, get your booster. Or if you haven't been vaccinated already, get started. Omicron is one more reason to do this.
Number two.
A string of organized retail thefts continued over Thanksgiving weekend, with a Best Buy near Minneapolis becoming the latest victim of a nationwide wave. Over the past 2 weeks, stores have been targeted by groups of people who smash windows, take merchandise, and often resell stolen goods online through fencing networks. A group of between 20 and 30 people robbed a Best Buy in Burnsville, Minnesota on Black Friday, stealing an unknown amount of merchandise.
Number three.
Opening arguments begin today in the federal sex trafficking trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, who is charged with helping her longtime companion, financier Jeffrey Epstein, recruit, groom, and exploit girls as young as 14 years old for sexual abuse. The alleged incidents ran from 1994 to 2004 in locations ranging from an Upper East Side residence in New York to an estate in Palm Beach, Florida, to a ranch in Santa Fe, New Mexico, to a residence in London. Travelers returning home after the Thanksgiving holiday encountered busy airports and full flights, but relatively few of the problems that have plagued air travel in recent months. Sunday was set to be the busiest travel day since the onset of the pandemic, with the TSA predicting nearly 2.5 million people would pass through U.S. airports. From Monday through Saturday, airlines canceled around 400 domestic flights, just 0.33% of what was scheduled. And moviegoers continued to tip-tap-tip-toe their way back into theaters with encouraging results over the Thanksgiving weekend. Disney's Encanto topped the holiday weekend box office, bringing in $42 million.
This is my chance. I will save the magic.
Wait, how do I save the magic?
Ghostbusters Afterlife scared up $35 million in its second week. House of Gucci raked in $21 million, while the box office in the U.S. and Canada took in around $142 million in total.
I didn't have time for movies this weekend, Mike, and one of the reasons why, I must say, is because of you. I am now going to have to blame you for my new addiction to Bloodline.
Oh boy,
Netflix.
I've been talking to Bloodline for about 2 years to you, and you finally jumped on board.
I did. I jumped on board.
Yeah.
It's really good. I enjoy like the family ties to the accidental and deliberate drug dealing, sort of like Ozark.
Right, yes.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. I think you made that connection.
Holding you over until Ozark in January, right?
Is it wrong that I kind of am living for Jacinda Barrett?
Yeah.
And seeing her act in that.
Yes.
Yeah. One of those things. Thanks for being with us. Are you back in the office full time, working from home full time, or in a hybrid model? Health experts say there's nothing particularly risky about working in an office anymore, challenging the long-held belief by some that the coronavirus alone is a reason to continue working from home. Here's Anissa Gardizi, reporter at the Boston Globe. Anissa, takeaways you're hearing.
The general takeaway is that, you know, there's nothing particularly dangerous about being in an office right now. And that's sort of opposite what we're seeing in the marketplace in terms of employers being back at work. So in this story, I sort of zeroed in on the health concerns and the safety of being in an office. And I talked to a bunch of experts, and none of them had the opinion that offices were a place we should be avoiding right now, even given the uptick in coronavirus cases.
Okay. And I mean, they've essentially gone so far as to call it a low-risk environment, right? How come?
Yeah, they're calling this a low-risk environment because there are a lot of things you can control in an office. So if you're in an office, you can know if the people around you are vaccinated. And in most office buildings, not just modern ones, but many office buildings have filtration and ventilation systems that are good for filtering air where you don't want to transmit airborne diseases. So that's sort of what makes it a low-risk environment, because there are known factors, and typically the ventilation system is what you would want it to be during a pandemic.
Wow. All right. So if we need a new excuse, then what is it?
Yeah, I guess people are sort of coming to terms with the other reasons that they don't want to be in the office. And that's something that the Globe has covered a bunch throughout the pandemic. But it's sort of just tilting the decision-making factors for businesses who initially were very concerned about safety and following local rules and regulations. But now that it's possible to occupy offices safely, they sort of have to assess what factors they're valuing the most.
Was it one expert in your story who said something along the lines of this is like the post-vaccine phase?
Yes. One of the local experts did say this is the post-vaccine phase, and she doesn't really think there's anything coming down the pipeline that will really change the course of the pandemic, besides booster shots and vaccines for kids, obviously. But she said that this is sort of where we're at. So if companies want to go back, this would be the environment they do it in. She doesn't think there's something that's going to be happening in a couple months, sort of like the vaccines happened earlier this year, that would really change the tide for the pandemic.
It did seem, I think somebody said in your story, this is not so much about being at the office as it is perhaps not wanting to be in a crowded bus or on a crowded subway car.
Yeah, those were really important points, because there are people who wouldn't mind sitting next to their vaccinated colleagues, but might have to be on the T for an hour to get to work. And that's definitely a different type of environment, which experts did say was generally more risky.
Thanks, Anissa. Anissa Gardizi, reporter at the Boston Globe. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked, or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
The top national stories with the context to make sense of it all. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, November 29. Gordon Deal with Mike Gavin, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Biden speaks about the Omicron variant today, including how the U.S. is limiting travel from South Africa and several other countries. Vaccine makers assessing their response to Omicron. Nissan says half its vehicles sold by 2030 will be powered at least partly by batteries. Fashion designer Virgil Abloh, who brought streetwear to luxury fashion, has died of cancer at age 41. Ravens over the Browns in Sunday Night Football, and questioning the intelligence of a French bulldog named Bruce. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. For Cyber Monday today, it's time to strategize about how to protect against identity theft as we make our online purchases. Insight from Gary Davis, chief evangelist with the cybersecurity firm Intrusion. Gary, what should we know?
This time of year in particular, you know, the bad guys know we're distracted, right? So they're going to try to fish us more. They're going to try to do things to kind of lure us in more so than any other time of the year. So this is a time where both employees and consumers have to be hypersensitive that you're on somebody's radar, and if you click on something or get lured in, it could end up in a very bad way for you.
What's trending right now? Is it still texts, emails, calls?
Phishing is still the number one thing. Yeah. You know, it's getting a phished email. You know, we're seeing an uptake in what's called smishing, which is basically a phishing text message. So that's obviously, you know, because even me, when I get a text message, I tend to be more responsive. You know, so if it looks legit, perhaps I'll click on it. Now, granted, I'm one of those people that are hypersensitive and don't tend to click on things, so I'm probably not going to be duped by it. But as a consumer, you're not going to be that vigilant. Oh, it looks legit, so let me go and click on it. So that's popular. You know, another really popular thing is tech support scams. You know, they'll call you. This is where they actually call your numbers. Hey, I'm with, let's say, Microsoft support. And we noticed that, you know, something, you know, squirrely is going on with your Microsoft account. Can you give us your login credentials so we can help you out? So it's just...
So you speak about this stuff probably 24/7. I mean, what should consumers keep in mind here?
First of all, you know, I always encourage consumers, especially this time of year, just to pause. You know, if you just take 1 second to pause before you click on something that could cause consequences for you and your family, that's the best advice I can give by far. There's other things like, you know, if you get an email from your bank, let's say, you know, instead of clicking on the link, actually go to the bank's website and log in and go in that way. You know, another important thing they can be doing is making sure that their devices, their smartphones or laptops or tablets, whatever, have the latest operating system and application installed. Those almost always include, you know, fixes that are going to help them, you know, stay protected. And also make sure that to the extent you can deploy some sort of AV, make sure you do that.
Speaking with Gary Davis, digital security expert and chief evangelist at the cybersecurity company Intrusion. And we're talking about being safe with your online habits, especially with Cyber Monday on the horizon. Seniors remain the most vulnerable population. Does that sound right?
Yeah, you know, we always refer to them as silver surfers. and it's, you know, it's because they're, well, actually, let me back up. They are still extremely vulnerable, because they tend to be very trusting. But we're actually seeing a little bit of trend towards the younger generation, because they are so comfortable just clicking away that they can be duped in a lot of cases more easily than a silver surfer. Because, you know, the thing about silver surfers is we've been spending a lot of energy and time over these past several years to make sure they're informed. So they're becoming a little bit more suspicious, where a younger generation person, let's say somebody in their 20s who grew up online, you know, feel they're impervious to the lures of a bad guy and don't feel they're going to be duped and find out that they are duped. Now, the big distinction is they typically don't have a lot of, you know, things to go after. For example, to get access to your savings account with no money in it, well, harm is done, right?
True. Is there a point that we ever draw even with the criminals and we kind of balance things out? Because I feel like we're always one step behind.
You know, I wish I could give you a good answer. I got a good answer. Unfortunately, it's not the answer you want. There's a lot of data that shows that organizations are spending a lot more money to make sure they have your better protections for the consumers who would use their service or product. But it looks like that the gap between how much you're spending and the economic impact of that continues to grow.
Wow.
You know, typically you think if you spend more and more on fixing a problem, at some point you're going to see that trend line of the economic impact start to decline.
Yeah.
And they'd be intersect at some point. We haven't seen that yet. We're still seeing them kind of going away from each other. But I'm hopeful that, you know, with innovations and a more informed and educated consumer, that we'll get ahead of it in time.
Hey, good insight. Anything else you want to drop in you think we need to mention?
You know, just, again, be super vigilant. You know, this past year in particular, you know, since we haven't been as accustomed to going to the office and so we're not getting that typical training we get from our employer on things we should be doing to stay safe, I would encourage people just, you know, especially this year more so than any other year, just be super mindful. The bad guys are trying to get you. They're using social engineering. They're trying to get into your head. They're trying to get into your family, and they're doing it with more malice than ever. So just be hypervigilant and don't allow yourself to be a victim.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Davis, Chief Evangelist with Intrusion. In the last year plus, you may have seen yourself more in video meetings than in the mirror. That beard that looked okay on a webcam, well, it got out of hand, didn't it? So as long as you're resetting your look, reset the way you shave with something better. Harry's. If you don't know about Harry's, it's time to find out. Harry's was founded to be different from the big companies. They wanted to prove you didn't need to decide between a great shave and a fair price, so they give you both. I'm amazed every time at how close my shave is. My blades stay amazingly sharp for days. High quality for a low price. Exactly what they set out to do when they founded Harry's. And I think you'll feel the same way. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get this special offer for the starter set. H-A-R-R-Y-S. harrys.com/deal. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Frequent flyer programs really need a new name. Carriers increasingly reward spending over actual flying, and American Airlines is about to push this trend farther than any big carrier. In-depth analysis from Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Scott, driven by the pandemic?
Yeah, some of it actually is driven by the pandemic, both in terms of figuring out how to deal with the lack of business travel and still keep people hooked in frequent flyer programs. And I think for some airlines, taking advantage of the reset to rethink how they reward loyalty. And the end result in both forces are pushing programs into new directions.
Okay, so one of them is shopping, right? The focus is going to be on spending money rather than necessarily getting up 30,000 feet.
Yeah, and we've seen, and I think this is the continuation of a trend that we've seen. Airlines for elite loyalty levels required spending certain amounts at different tiers. And then they started awarding miles that you fly based on the price that you pay on the ticket, not the miles flown. Mm. And American is really taking it the final step. And this is they fully admit they're used the pandemic to rethink their program. And the final step is that you don't have to get on an airplane to reach an elite level status in the frequent flyer program. They really should be called frequent spending programs, because you can qualify for even the top tiers of American's loyalty program simply with credit card spending. You don't have to take a single flight. And I think that's that's an acknowledgement that what's really driving these programs is they're not really loyalty programs, they're revenue producing programs. American is selling miles to credit card companies. It's extremely profitable, and that's the business they want to continue.
We're speaking with Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Airlines Are Rewriting the Rules on Frequent Flyer Programs Again. So I guess my question is then, are you going to get an airline credit for everything you shop for and put on a credit card? Everything?
Yeah, everything. Okay. And more. And it doesn't have to be the credit card. And that's the more part. Airlines have their own dining programs. So you go out to eat at a restaurant that's part of the dining program. You get loyalty points for that.
Wow.
They have online marketplaces. And so you can get points for buying there as well as your credit card points. There are, just as there were lots of ways to game the frequent flyer system on airplanes, there are now lots of ways to game the frequent flyer system on the ground as well.
All right. Is this going to be something that every airline pursues, I guess?
You know, I think we're getting there. It's interesting. Frontier has a program where you can get status solely with credit card spend. American is the first huge airline to do it. United is partially there. You can use a lot of credit card spend for qualification, but at United, you still have to fly at least four flights a year. You could easily see United going all the way American has.
Thanks, Scott. Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Cyber Monday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. It is 9 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Mike Gavin.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The World Health Organization urged countries around the world not to impose flight bans on southern African nations because of concerns over the new Omicron variant. The U.S. plans to ban travel from South Africa and seven other southern African countries starting today. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa says we'll have a better understanding of what threat the new variant poses in the coming days and weeks.
We will have a better understanding of whether Omicron is transmitted more easily between people, and two, whether it increases the risk of reinfection.
Number two.
Thousands of American service members are facing disciplinary action up to dismissal if they are not fully vaccinated against COVID-19 by today. With 91% fully vaccinated, the Marines are on track to have the worst record of all the services. The Navy, which had the most serious outbreak of COVID aboard the carrier, the USS Theodore Roosevelt, has the best record, 97% fully vaccinated.
Number three.
Actor Jussie Smollett's criminal trial on charges from his allegedly staging a hate crime against himself is set to begin today after 3 years of delays and an investigation into the district attorney's handling of the case. Mr. Smollett, in late 2019, claimed two men assaulted him while yelling racist, anti-gay, and pro-Donald Trump slogans. He also alleged they hit him and tied a noose around his neck. Investigators soon alleged that he had fabricated the event. U.S. shoppers spent more time and money at bricks and mortar stores over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend than the same period last year, though foot traffic remained below pre-pandemic levels. The rebound marks a reversal from 2020, when the pandemic accelerated a years-long shift of holiday spending occurring online at the expense of in-store shopping. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are not having the season they had hoped for this year, and the misery has extended now to their mascot, Jackson DeVille, who was supposed to make a grand entrance via bungee from the light stands at the top of the stadium during yesterday's game against the Falcons, but something went wrong, and Jackson was left dangling, eventually being lowered into the upper deck. It was insult added to injury for the Jaguars, who fell to 2-9 on the season. One fan joked on Twitter about Jackson's emergency landing in the upper deck that, good thing there are no fans up there to get in the way.
Oh, man. Well, this is the way things go sometimes, right?
Yes.
Sometimes you're spiraling out of control and nothing goes right. Off the field.
Doing their best to try to entertain the fans, give them something to cheer for this season, and even that goes wrong.
Oh, man. Thank you, Mike. Being with us, here's a most bizarre rescue for firefighters in Scottsdale, Arizona. The Fortin family noticed their family dog was missing after a frantic search and putting missing dog posters up. They did a second scan of the property only to find that Bruce, their one-year-old French bulldog, entered a six-foot-deep burrow in the backyard created by the family tortoise. The Washington Post says the 50-pound sulcata tortoise then entered the burrow, accidentally trapping Bruce the Frenchie. Since it was Sunday, the local tortoise rescue group was closed, so the Fortin family called the Scottsdale Fire Department for help with Bruce the Frenchie. After the decision to carefully dig to avoid collapsing the burrow, the commotion prodded the tortoise to peek out, allowing her to be removed. Then, Bruce the Frenchie came bolting out. The firefighter said the endeavor, albeit bizarre, was very rewarding. Michelle Fortin, the mom, recounted the escapade on her Instagram page in a story highlight she called Bruce the Idiot. That'll do it for this hour. For Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.